another episode of The Back Porch. My name is Grant. I'm a pastor here at First Grapevine, a Methodist church down on Church Street. I am joined by one of my co-hosts. That is the Reverend Carly Payne, pastor of Discipleship, Family Ministries, Crafting. And what else do you do, Carly?
This week I've been decorating some.
You have been decorating and cooking.
And cooking.
Look at you, busy. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're recording on Thanksgiving Monday. And so it's just kind of a fun liminal space right now between Thanksgiving and Christmas and entering the holiday season. So I enjoy that. It's nice. You know, Starbucks has their Christmas menu and everyone's and Weinberger's down on Main Street has their Thanksgiving sandwich. So I'm doing pretty well.
The Settler is the name of it. The sandwich.
I've had it like three times this weekend. That's not an exaggeration.
I'm just throwing it out there because they took it off the menu, but
you can order it.
You can order it.
Yeah, they posted about it a few days ago on their social media.
Yeah, you gotta be in the know.
Yeah.
But the guy smiled a little bit when you ordered it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did. So that's pretty good.
I thought it was because I didn't pronounce it well.
Weinberger's is my favorite downtown Grapevine restaurant. I think it's great. All of them are good, but that one's my favorite. So, well, yeah, and it's been an exciting day here already because we have so many people are here decorating. Like, it already feels like Christmas, and
yeah,
it's been busy.
Yeah, and we've got, so Melissa Goebel is kind of our youth director, likes to call her the head elf this year, and she's been working for months on, okay, not even months, like a month, because I'm pretty sure I asked her about this at the end of October.
Yeah, it didn't take her long to get into gear, get her crew.
She's got like a PowerPoint over it that she hands everyone to that's got exactly what we're doing.
She called it something fancy.
And a slide deck.
Okay, yeah.
And I was like, slide deck. I barely know what that is, but I think that's probably what professional people call it.
Well, not in our profession.
Not in our profession. We're still on PowerPoints.
Slideshow.
Yeah, slideshow.
I have a slideshow. We have no idea what that means whenever you hear that from one of us. But
I do.
But yeah, in general.
Yeah,
Just saying we could pull out slides and a projector. That's how far behind we are.
That sounds about right.
But Melissa is on top of it. Yeah, so serious.
Yes, and we've got people like Miriam Ward and Paula Jenkins who are kind of taking over their certain areas. Clary Coleman worked with the youth on Mini Mission to get the outside ready. We've got some new and improved decorations and photo opportunities and
There is Christmas everywhere.
Yeah.
Every part of the campus right now.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's fun. So, yeah, things are going well. How are you?
I think I'm good. I'm busy. Got a lot going on. It's very exciting. I hate to say this. I hate to even say this privately, much less where other people can hear me. But I think we are more prepared for Christmas this year than I've ever seen in the time that I've been here.
I feel that way. I haven't been here as long as you have, but I feel that way too. And it's, we always talk about, oh, we'll do this earlier, but really.
We'll do it earlier.
I think our, at least in my memory, the reason we did it earlier is because Clary Coleman came to us in like July and said, what are you doing for Christmas? And we said, we'll figure it out.
We had started the conversation, but her suggestion was so good. We had to change to what she mentioned, which is, this book using the Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, The Heart That Grew Three Sizes by Matt Rawl. I'm guessing on the pronunciation of the author's last name, but
he's a pastor in Louisiana, I think.
Tying together the Grinch into, and really using traditional Advent readings for this season. Advent just means is a fancy word for Christ coming into the world and. You know, the Grinch, I think, really, thanks to the magic of Dr. Seuss, really cuts to the true meaning of Christmas, or at least provides us a vehicle to get there. It does a good job of highlighting what we get wrong, which is negativity, bad feelings, and just general grumpiness instead of recognizing what's most important, which is the gift of Christ and of one another.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we celebrate at Christmas. And yeah. So how about we jump right into said scripture?
Okay.
Because one of the things we do here on the podcast is talk about the Bible, and we try to keep it in line with what's going on a Sunday morning. We reserve the right to go to some other part of the Bible, but for the most part, that's what we stick to. And this week, our scripture reading comes from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is a massive book. It covers a big span of time, a lot of topics, a lot of events that were current in their day, as well as some what we think of as prophetic language, meaning speaking of the future. Prophets actually spoke more about stuff going on in their own time than we, you know, as mm-hmm. you're approaching it, kind of at first glance, you think it's all about the future. Well, it's not. A lot of it is about what's going on in their time, but also their messages for the things to come. And this scripture is a message of hope for the restoration after the exile. Israel as a country split in two after the reign of Solomon, Northern Kingdom, Southern Kingdom. Northern Kingdom took the name Israel, Southern Kingdom, Judah. The Northern Kingdom was conquered by the Assyrians in 722 BCE, and then Judah held on until right about 586, 583, 4, 5, or 6, somewhere in there, depending on who you ask. Right about there. And so that's by two different groups, Assyrians to the north, Babylonians to the south. And I'm saying in a few sentences that there was a lot of war for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And Israel, if you look at where it is on a map and you think of the Egyptians being a major empire, the rise of the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, other little groups that popped up in there along the way, like the Medes, for example. That's a lot going on, and these are a lot of people who are trying to go to war, and to do so, they get on a major highway, and they stop at the little truck stop of a country known as Israel, over and over again. And that's happening. And this is a message in the midst of that type of climate, where people are wondering, what is our future? What's going to happen here? We've seen so many armies, and so many wars, and so much going on, that in the midst of that, there's a message of hope for the future for better days. Does that set it up okay?
Yeah, that's great. I'd love to read it. It's a little long. Is that okay?
Go for it.
Okay. So Isaiah 61 starts off by saying, and I'm reading from the NRSV Bible, the New Revised Standard Version, and that's because I left my Common English Bible at home.
I like this, though.
I like NRSV. This one, too.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites. So Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up their former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall till your land and dress your vines. But you shall be called the priests of the Lord. You shall be named ministers of our God. You shall enjoy the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you shall glory. Because their shame was double, and dishonor was proclaimed as their lot, therefore they shall possess a double portion. Everlasting joy shall be theirs."
That's beautiful. So I mentioned what it says in context of history. What does that mean to you? Because you said you love this passage.
Yeah, I remember first coming across it. It was when I was starting to take the Bible seriously. I was reading a chapter every day. And if you read a chapter every day, it takes you a couple years to finish the Bible. And I read this when I was preparing for a mission trip. And I thought it, you know, I didn't really know much about the context of it, but I thought it fit well, you know, what's going to happen, where there's this hope, where there's no hope. And then I went to college, actually, and they had a ministry.
Actually, you did, huh?
Actually, I did.
Sorry. It's a mess with Carly kind of day.
Yeah, it is a mess with Carly kind of day. Mainly for you. And so in college, I right across from my dorm, across the street, is a college ministry for the Methodist Church is on across the other street called The Oaks. And it was based on Isaiah 61, where it talks about the Oaks of Righteousness. And we used this. I joined that campus ministry, and it was one of the most formative things that I did while I was in college. And we would refer to Isaiah 61 often as this reminder that God gives good things, and to give us hope when you're in college and you don't know what's going on and you don't really have big problems, but they feel like big problems because everything feels like a big problem at that point.
I would argue there is one big problem in college, and that is everything about the situation is trying to tell you that you need to know what you're going to do for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah. And it feels like
you're right. It's a simulated problem, but it is one.
Yeah. I mean, I remember thinking, well, if I fail this paper, I'm going to have to drop out of college. Like everything felt like,
if I don't make a good grade in this class,
I'll never get into seminary.
I'll be a trash man, which is nothing wrong with that, but, you know, not what I had in mind.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. It's one of those scriptures that just stayed on my heart for a while and was really meaningful to me. And I'm glad we're starting off with this, I think. So we're talking about the Grinch, right? You already mentioned that, right?
I did.
Wow, 5 minutes ago and it's already out in my head.
You just weren't listening to me.
I was too listening to you. So we're talking about the Grinch, and this first week it's talking about, you know, who is a Grinch? Why is he so mad? Why does he hate Christmas? And, you know, what are those things about Christmas and the season that we get mad about? And or maybe we're a Grinch or a Scrooge in our own life. And really what I think the heart of the lesson and what this scripture gets to is, what is it all about? And so it's God coming into the world through Christ. God coming into the world through Christ in this human form as a little baby to proclaim good news, to give garland instead of ashes and mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. God switching out these things that we name as hopeless and giving us hope. And so when I think, I don't know, work with me here, because I'm thinking, and I'm talking to you specifically.
No, right? I can tell. Everybody could tell that you were talking to me. Yeah.
Well, I'm talking to you specifically because I'm toying with my scripture or the sermon for next week, and I'm thinking, that's kind of the lines I'm thinking on, and forgive me, listeners, as I'm trying to flesh out my sermon while you're in your car. But you can, if you've got some advice, I'd love to hear it. But
don't ask for that. Anyway, keep going.
In regards to the sermon, so I think cutting to the heart of when we forget the Christmas season, when we get caught up in all the things we have to do and all the traditions we've kind of given ourselves, if we can cut to the heart of it and remember that God's coming into the world to do this, that's what we're preparing for, then I think it helps us put our why into perspective. Why are we doing all this? And mm-hmm. maybe it helps you see a little bit more or cast the vision a little bit better for what your Christmas season is going to look like if you've got the true thing in mind.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me. What did you need out of me?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I need some confirmation or something.
That's good job, Carly.
Thank you.
That's good stuff. Yeah.
What? All right. Well, that's what I'm preaching on. What are you preaching on?
Yeah. This is... So the first candle is a candle of hope. And to me, that's what we're beginning with, is the hope of the season. And this is a message of hope after disaster. Jesus is born in a time of Roman occupation and captivity, and he's born to people who really represented that struggle, who had to travel for this census, who didn't have family to even take them in, who, you know, lived in a very rural area. What good can come out of Galilee? That's who Jesus was born to. That's what he was born into. And it's that reminder of God coming into the world. God's not just coming into the world in glory. No. God's coming into the world in the midst of scandal, disaster, war, and sadness. Mm-hmm. And so it's our job as the church, as the storytellers, as the ones who celebrate Christmas, to remember that good word and get it out there. Because, you know, the Grinch is, we always make the Grinch story about us. Like, you, like, I don't need to be Grinchy, or, you know.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
The Grinch is someone that we need to feel sorry for, because when you get that way when you don't have hope. Mm-hmm. And you just get, I don't know, like, isolated, lonely, angry, jealous.
Yeah.
Those are amongst us, and they don't have a home. Look, as soon as the Grinch realized he had a home, look at what he did. He runs. He takes everything. His heart grows immediately. And, you know, that's the hope of Christmas, is we share this word with others, and Christ grows hearts. That's what Christ does.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God does in this world, and we just got to make those connections.
Yeah.
That's our, Jesus said, go and make disciples.
The Lord's appointed me, he sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted. Yeah.
That's what the Grinch is to me.
Yeah. And I like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's helpful.
I'm glad. We're very interested to see how things turn out on Sunday.
Well, thanks.
Because you're preaching, right?
I'm preaching in the contemporary service. Contemporary and Family First.
Which takes place in the chapel, which, if you're new to our campus, you look to the right as you pull in to Church Street. Or if you pull in from, what's that little street that comes in right here?
Oh.
Not Ball Street.
Is it Dallas? I remember there's a Dallas Street in Grapevine, but I can't remember.
No, that's not Dallas. Dallas is a few blocks away.
Okay.
Scribner? Come in on Scribner. That's what it is.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure.
I think Scribner... I don't know.
I'm trying to draw upon my memory of when I've had to call 911. Not for the police, but an ambulance because somebody fell. Uh-huh. Remember they asked me, Church Street or... It's Scribner. The little one right there.
Okay.
I will be corrected by someone who listens to this.
And knows their streets better than we do.
Yeah, yeah. But if you come in, my point of saying was, you come in from that way, drive around the sanctuary, that's where the chapel is.
Yeah.
Or get out of your car and walk by the sanctuary.
Oh, that's the one you're talking about. Yeah, that is Scribner.
Yeah. So that's where the chapel is. And the sanctuary is the big building. It's big. You can't miss it.
It's got a steeple.
You can literally see it from the airplane. I was going to say space, but that's not true. From when you're, if you're landing in DFW,
it's a big building.
You can see it. Yeah. All right. How about we move on to other things?
Okay. That sounds good to me.
Because what other stuff I can tell, like, we're trying to save it for our other speaking engagements.
It's a Monday. Yeah, too.
Oh, I'm ready to go. I just don't want to repeat too much. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So moving on to stuff going on, we mentioned decorations. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. Lots of stuff going on. When is what's the date for the big?
Oh, our Christmas village?
Yeah.
Okay, on it's the 10th or 11th, whichever one, it's the 11th, because that's a Sunday, right?
Yes.
Okay, it's
Mike is going to be here that morning.
Yeah, Pastor Mike, who we had through the summer, he's coming back, preaches
We're having
sermon.
Lunch.
Yes.
Roast beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is like...
It's actually brisket, I think.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
And then Christmas Village starts at what time?
4 o'clock. And so we're going to have like a snow hill, like real snow hill. Well, not from the sky, but from a machine. It's going to be fun. We're going to have trains, like a...
Santa will be there, right?
Santa, if you want to take a picture of Santa. We're working on our photo op and stuff like that.
And the musical at 6?
Yes, 6 o'clock.
Not a musical, but
it's
a music performance.
It's kind of like a mix between your favorite Christmas carols and a Christmas pop concert.
Yeah.
Featuring a lot of the musicians at our church and some even that aren't from our church that come in special for this event.
It's fun, family friendly.
Yeah.
Very entertaining.
Yeah, and it's
we'll be there.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And then we get to sing Silent Night at the end, and it's yeah. a good tradition. Yeah. It's been going on like 86 years or mm-hmm. something.
Correct.
If you, and listener, if you're new to our church community or you don't live in Grapevine or whatever, it sounds like a strange tradition to have. I've never been in a church or heard of a church doing something like this, but it's so fun.
Yeah.
So come try it out if you haven't tried it out before.
I think it's a great opportunity for everybody to have that chance to celebrate Christmas without also having to go do all of your other Christmas obligations.
Yeah.
By all means, come to both, because we will have a lot going on Christmas Eve. But if you can't, this is a good thing to do to help get yourself in that Christmas mood. And yeah, and it's fun.
Yeah.
Bring your family, bring your friends, bring your neighbors. Be a great time.
Yeah, it'll be good.
All right. We're moving quickly through this, but I do think
it's a holiday.
We're going to have to go do some podcast. Other stuff in a minute, because you've got
turkey in the oven.
You've got turkey in the oven. I'm going to have to go check on the parking lot guys, because yeah, there's a big event going on. But I got to. So we have just a few more minutes.
Okay.
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
What shenanigans do you have, Carly?
Wow. Okay.
We didn't even go over that in show prep. So
no, we did not.
No.
I'm wearing, well, my excessive crafting habit right now is I'm moving away from wreaths, but I still have some wreath supplies. So if anyone wants one, let me know, because I got to get, okay, I got to get rid of some. I got to make some room in my craft closet.
Uh-oh.
But I ordered stuff to make these little woven ornaments, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
So I've just been making ornaments when I go home in the evening, and it's pretty fun.
That does sound fun.
So every year at Thanksgiving, it started out just me, and then it kind of started to involve my siblings and cousins. I always bring like a activity, like a craft to do, a Christmas craft. And now my future in-laws, sister and brother-in-law, they enjoy doing it. And then my sisters make fun of me, and then my cousin does it with me. So we're making woven ornaments. I'm very excited.
What that about sounds you? Fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, those aren't necessarily shenanigans, but I don't know. It's been fun.
So I'm working on some shenanigans, or I'm riding on the coattails of my friend Kevin's shenanigans,
mm-hmm.
because he does a lot of interesting crafts. He's projects. He's always into something all the time, always up to something. And I like that. And I mean, really off the wall. So he, like for example, he came over to my place, geez, months ago and, saw some like soap by the sink.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a charcoal soap.
Uh-huh.
And he brings it in where I'm sitting. He goes, "What is this?" And I said, "It's charcoal soap." And he like washes his hands with it, looks at it, and he goes, "I could do this. I could do better." And then he started making soap. Like, and then he did. Like immediately made awesome. Like better soap. Like it's incredible. Like fancy like you would get at the what's that thing? That farmer's market kind of thing, like yeah, and his next thing is he is restoring a vintage hi-fi receiver, like an amp with a radio
is,
on the front.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Just like from the 70s. I'm trying to describe it not just to you, but all of them, in case they don't know. Like imagine like your grandparents' stereo in the living room,
okay,
with the glowing meters and big knobs on it, okay. And that's the stereo. He's restoring one of those, which...
That's fun.
He made a friend who has a little restoration shop. This little old guy who runs a shop by himself. And he just, you know, dropped by his shop the other day to ask him some questions about stuff. And he got a soldering iron, like a really fancy one, to do lots of little stuff. So, and I'm just along for the ride. I'm not that mechanically minded. Yeah. I appreciate it. I know what's going on, but I couldn't just take something like that apart and start popping off little transistors and cleaning them up. Like, no, but I like to drink coffee and watch him work and entertain and be there to
that's fair.
Add color to the experience
there you go.
For him and for other people. I like to ride on the coattails of other people's shenanigans. So I've got a some upcoming car projects that I'm gonna work on, like my my old car I call the Starship, which is the one I'm driving today. if you see it, you'll know what I mean. It looks like something from the 90s, like off of Star Trek Next Generation. It's a car that a church member's family gave me after he passed away, and I love it. I love that thing. But like the passenger seat doesn't work quite right, the little motors on it, and a couple other little things that I'm gonna after Christmas. But to do something like that, you kind of start researching kind of in advance. So I'm in the research phase of my shenanigans.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am. I'll probably watch some of the World Cup just because I'm not a big soccer person. Mm-hmm. But I'll watch some of that because the Formula One season is over. And thanks to the Netflix special, I can actually say that and people know sort of what I'm talking about. I've always been a fan. One of my favorite drivers just retired, which is crazy because, I mean, I was a full-grown adult when he was a rookie. I mean, it's one thing for, I remember when I was a kid, like, oh no, the drivers who are old, like, are younger than me. that's just strange to think of it that way. But that's, anyway, so that season is over, so I need something to watch to entertain myself. And I can't really follow a show. I'm too busy. I don't have time to just sit down and enjoy it. So I don't have a show that I'm watching.
I've been rewatching The Crown because the new season came out, but I want to make that stretch a little bit. So I'm rewatching all of it before I watch the new season.
Yeah.
So I can, and it's history. So it's like, I kind of know how it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to pay that close of attention to it.
All right.
Yeah.
I think that's my problem.
Yeah.
Is I don't have enough energy to really
pay attention to it.
Yeah. So maybe I need something like that. I don't know what that is for me though, because it's not The Crown.
Not The Crown. Okay.
All right. But I'll figure that out. Interesting challenge.
Yeah.
That's really all I got, Carly.
You know, that's all I got too. I need to check the turkey for Friendsgiving tonight. So
I need to make sure Charles DeMack is okay. And everybody else, but yeah. I just saw him out there earlier and I thought, yeah, I need to go say hi before I leave. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to pick on him or anything. I just saw him out there and I thought, I better go talk. But no, it's been a good day. A lot of good stuff going on.
It's been
a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And today was the day we recorded the little promos for each of the sermon series, plus stuff that goes up on social media. So a lot of videos made today, which is always fun. I always enjoy that.
Yeah.
So I always dread it in advance. I'm like, I don't have time to do that. And then we start doing it and it's a blast.
Yeah.
And, Mark and Christian were recording and Christian's just such a good, he's our
media intern.
Yeah. That is his title, right? He's in school.
I don't know what his title is, but
he's in school.
Yeah.
And he's interning, learning a lot and just does a great job. He helps us a lot on Sunday. So I'd tell you to, whenever you come to visit, to drop by the media booth and say hi to Christian. But if that dude is focused on what he's doing, he's not going to look up. He won't hear you. He's not rude. He just won't. He will not hear you. He is focused on what he's doing. Sometimes I'll go try to talk to him, and I can tell, like, he's really polite to me, but it's like, hey, I'm working here. Yeah. So anyway, it was a great day, and I hope you're having a great day, too, and I realize we're probably catching you on your way back from Thanksgiving, from grandma's house, or wherever you've been. Hope it's been a great time. Stay safe out there. I know I rant about traffic too much, but just be safe. All right, pay attention. Watch where you're going. Try to drive at odd hours to miss some traffic. Just be careful because you matter and want you to be safe. So there, that's my 2 cents to you, dear listener. Wherever you are. So on that, I don't mean to be sad. Should I end on a different note other than that?
Just sign us off.
TCU won again. That makes some people happy.
That makes me happy because it makes my family happy.
Yeah. I don't have a dog in the fight.
Yeah.
And they beat Baylor.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of Baylor fans around here. So yeah, tense game for everyone involved.
Yeah.
The way I like to see it though, TCU won by 1 point. They're having a much better season than Baylor. So in a way, everybody kind of won and everybody kind of lost. How's that sound?
That sounds fine.
All right. Now, see, that's a better note to end on.
All right.
Than a Grant rant about traffic. So there. So be safe out there. We hope you have a great time. And until we see you again, remember to go everywhere and eat everything. I can tell